Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Empower You Radio Network, and thank you for joining us today on Living Astrology, where we are tapping into the magic of the cosmos for practical guidance and wisdom, with your host, Janet Hickox, intuitive astrologer and numerologist.
Welcome to Living Astrology. My name is Janet Hickox, and I am an intuitive astrologer, human design coach, and I even dabble these days in numerology, which brings me to the subject today. I have Tanya Gabrielle, wealth astronumerologist, with us, and I'm going to be bringing her in just a few minutes so that we can spend the bulk of our hour together today listening to her, and some of you will be able to get readings. I'm coming to you live from Samish Island, Washington, where it's a blustery, sort of fallish, wintry day, as it is usually here in October. I can't even remember the last time Halloween was without rain, so it'll be interesting to see what happens tomorrow. I'm very excited about today's show because I have wanted to get Tanya on our show for a long time. I really respect the work she does. And so without further ado, let me introduce you to my guest. Tanya Gabrielle is a wealth astronumerologist, spiritual teacher, author, composer, and speaker. She's coached thousands of clients and entrepreneurs worldwide, helping them to design fulfilling and abundant lives by unlocking the secret numbers code in their names, birth dates, and personal cycles. Her insights have been featured on the front page of USA Today newspaper and many other magazines and so forth throughout the country. Tanya is renowned for her ability to interpret the hidden messages in current events and publishes her forecasts and inspirations in the Astronumerology Insights newsletter. I cannot wait to pick your brains around the current events and so forth that are going on in our world, Tanya. As the founder of Numerology Academy, Tanya created the first ever online astronumerology certification course, which is a 6-week comprehensive video-based training program that integrates two ancient spiritual modalities, astrology and numerology. Numerology Academy is designed for novices to coaches and healers who want a new, powerful, in-depth tool to support their clients. As a classical composer, Tanya Gabrielle has enjoyed performances and broadcasts worldwide by Grammy Award-winning artists in the great concert halls of Europe and North America. Please welcome Tanya Gabrielle. Hi, Tanya.
Hi, Janet. That bio is pretty impressive. I can't believe that's me.
I know. Isn't that funny? When people read my bio, sometimes I go in the same thing. Wow, did I write that? Who is that person? Well, I was very intrigued by your bio, actually, because, of course, I expected the astrology and the numerology component and even, you know, the fact that you write and that type of thing. But a classical composer, I mean, that is really intriguing. And I know that's not on our list of things, but you know, tell us about that.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up because it's very related to numbers, as it turns out. I don't know if you know, Johann Sebastian Bach has been analyzed by many mathematicians because his music is actually formulaic. And so music, like composers, tend to be very drawn to numbers. They're very much in the same energetic frequency. So, yes, I grew up wanting to be like Mozart, and that's what I pursued.
I love it.
So I grew up in a very musical family, and my dad was also an amateur astrologer and very much into the esoteric divination arts. So I had a dose of both, but I didn't pursue astrology or numerology at the time. I really wanted to be a composer. So that was really the first part of my life, was devoted to that. But so yes, I pursued that. I lived in Europe. I, you know, did all the wonderful things composers can do, except I tell you that the pay for us, for the classical composers, is below janitor level. So it wasn't very fulfilling on that front.
That's horrible.
It's a classical art. Yep. So you have to be a film composer or a Hollywood kind of composer or in pop music to really make money. So Unless you're a university professor, you know, then you can handle it. But I wanted to go that route. So what happened was I was in college studying music, and I stumbled upon a book on Pythagoras and numerology, and I just was hooked ever since that time. I already knew astrology very well from my dad, but the numerology really was intriguing and so simple, too. You know, I mean, numbers are very easily understandable, and astrology is not that understandable. It's very complex, so the numerology really appealed for that reason to me. So
yeah, you know that they say that kids that are musical are also the ones that have an easier time learning math, and because there is this association with music and numbers. So I think that's really interesting. And
they had the Mozart effect years ago. Did you hear about the Mozart effect, that book? I don't know, it came out like 15 years ago called The Mozart Effect, and it basically talked about how listening to classical music for babies helped them with their intelligence, and that's been proven scientifically. So if you actually learn how to play that music on an instrument and read it, it even accentuates that, you know, ability for the brain to just expand on that level. It's like almost like a virtual numbers music level that you expand. And because you're doing hand-eye coordination while reading music while interpreting, and it's quite involved, you know. So
So it's obviously something that you do because you love it, because there isn't a big wealth factor in it. And that makes it, you know, more along the lines of your passion and makes it fun and beautiful, I'm sure, right?
Yes. I waitressed for a while, and then I married well. So, you know, my ex-husband, who I was married for a long time to, wonderful man, was a world-renowned concert violinist. So I was able to compose without having to worry about where I'm going to live or where I'm going to sleep. So that helped, you know, that really helped me. And so we collaborated a long time. And it was during that time with him especially that I always continued with the astrology and numerology, but it was as a hobby because I really devoted myself to composing. And I was very successful at it and loved it. And but as you said, it wasn't because I was making great money, for sure. Yeah.
For sure. Now, so you said your father was an astrologer, so you got that. And you started to say that you were very young when you started learning numerology. Tell us a little bit about that. Were you just drawn to numbers, or did a book strike you? Tell us more about how you got to numerology.
Well, my dad actually wasn't an astrologer. He was an amateur astrologer. He was a poet and owned his own company, insurance company, but he was just into the esoteric sciences.
Yeah.
And so he had all the books there, and he was the one who would bring me into his room when he was casting charts and show me the charts, and I was totally intrigued. And the numerology was not something he actually introduced me to. That happened in college when I just happened upon a book on numerology in an esoteric bookstore. I was just browsing. And that's when I started reading my friends in the dorm room. And, of course, that was a big hit, and because it was very accurate and easy. So I was hooked from that point onwards, and was really only later that I combined the two, because it didn't dawn on me until I really started making this a profession about 10 or so years ago that there are numbers in the astrology chart. And so originally I kept them separate and really focused more on the numerology, and then I thought, oh my gosh, there are numbers in every chart. There are degree numbers, and those must have some kind of meaning. And lo and behold, they do. I'm now just totally convinced that these two sister sciences should belong together, you know. So.
I agree. I mean, I learned numerology myself first. I think I was about 18 years old, and I was wandering through a bookstore, and these two books, they were written by Matthew Godwin, or Goodwin, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And
they just
sort of jumped out at me, and I picked both of them up on that day, and, you know, pretty much discovered, like you, it's pretty easy, you know, to learn it and to be able to use it. And astrology didn't come until my what I call our midlife redirect, which occurs, you know, when Uranus is opposing Uranus, and that one just sort of was revealed to me. So it's always interesting how these sciences, these esoteric sciences, let's call them, come up in people's lives, but they often come up in tandem. And I, you know many astrologers or numerologists who also know the other. And so not surprising at all that you would put those two together. Now, I have a great question for you, because I noticed some numerologists use Pythagorean numerology, and I think that's the one that I actually learned, if you, mm-hmm. you know, characterized it as that. But I think, you're doing a type called, is it Chaldean or Chaldean?
Okay, that's a great question. And, well, the Pythagorean is the one that we also call Western. And it's the easy one because it assigns the letters to numbers in a consecutive order. So A is 1, B is 2, C is 3, et cetera, in the alphabet.
Yeah.
Now, the ancient Chaldean system is based on sound. So half of those letters are not assigned to the same number as in the Pythagorean. They're actually assigned
right.
to different numbers based on how they sound. And I use both. The Pythagorean I use for your birth certificate name when I cast your birth chart, and the Chaldean one I use for your current name. And that branch of numerology is not as well known, though I feel it is honestly the most important one to start with all my clients. I start with the current name. And the reason is that current name shows whether your life is easy or difficult. It doesn't show what your talents are. That's your birth name and birthday. But it shows the ease of which you are able to express the gifts you're born with or the difficulty that you have. So that's the only branch of numerology where you actually have either a negative or positive connotation to the number. You don't have that with your birth numbers. They're just neutral, and you make of them what you want, right? But the current name number is either fortunate or not. And so that's why I like starting with it, because it really helps me see. And by the way, most of my clients don't have good names. I do have to change the spelling. That really makes a difference. It's amazing, because it's a frequency. It's your calling card that you've decided on. You are the person who decides what your name is right now. And so you can make that change. And we don't have that in astrology even, where we can make any changes, you know?
No.
So.
No, you can't change your birth time, birthplace. I tried this actually once, playing with my birth time, because I wasn't sure what it was on my birth certificate. And trying to fit myself into the mold, it wasn't until about, 4 years ago that I got my real birth certificate and realized instead of having a Leo rising, I have a Cancer rising. And, of course, that changed everything.
It changed
everything. And I went, oh, my goodness, Janet. I will never again guess on birth times, because it can really, at least for astrology, because it can really make a mess of things.
Absolutely. So, I mean, every 4 minutes, the degree changes on your houses. So, it's very important.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So let's see if we can get an example then of what you're talking about, as far as, like, I read an article that you wrote probably a week or two ago about, what is her name? George Clooney's new wife. And, the numbers in
Amal Alamuddin, I think, something like that.
And I mean, I think you said that her name before she would change it, or after she would change it, was going to be a 13-4, not necessarily a good number apparently for her to have. So, explain a little bit about that, and what would make a number fortunate versus maybe not so fortunate, and does it have a lot to do maybe with what your birth date and birth name is, and what your life path was meant to be?
That's a great question. So, okay, it's a little complex, so just bear with me. So what happens is, we all obviously have a birthday. And for some of us, that birthday actually influences what name number we should have. Okay, so it's a little complex for that reason. It's not everybody. It's some of us. And the people who that would encompass are people who are born on the 4th or the 8th or any root number that reduces to 4 or 8. So that would be 13, because 1 plus 3 is 4, or 17 plus 1 plus 7 is 8, right? 26,
right.
22nd, 31st. Those days are special days in numerology when it comes to your current name. The same goes for your full birthday. So if you add up all the digits of your birthday and they add up to a 4 and 8 in the end, you also come into this category. So, but everybody else who doesn't have a 4 or 8 in either their day of birth or their full life path or life purpose number, there are fortunate numbers for names and unfortunate numbers. And so what happens is that they don't change. Those fortunate numbers are always fortunate, and the ones that aren't are always it doesn't matter, you know, when you're born. So this branch, though, is so important because if you don't pay attention to it, like Amal, who just changed her name to Amal Clooney and took out her maiden name, she's really affecting her life by doing that. She had a name that was actually very neutral before this, I believe. I can't recall exactly. But
yeah.
But if she had kept that maiden name with Clooney, it would be so much better for her. So I know in some instances I see her name written that way, so I'm not quite sure what she's doing personally. But the thing is, when you actually change your name, when you get married, which a lot of women still do, you have to be so careful that that name is supporting you. And it's a matter of math. It's not the name itself. So I'm not saying the name Amal is bad or Clooney is bad. It's the whole mathematical formula of putting those two names together, right?
Right.
So people always ask me, oh, is my name Lisa bad? No. Don't look at that. Look at your full current name, and I'll tell you the number, and that number is what I deal with. I don't need to deal with names like, you know, and say this name's bad or that name's bad. It's the combination, the total that I look at. So it really is a very important branch. And like I said, it doesn't describe who you are. It doesn't describe your gifts or your lessons or anything like that. It just describes the environment in which you live and whether it's supporting you or not.
So honestly, then, you know, a full profile is really needed in order to be able to do this properly or to do it justice.
Oh, yeah.
So you can't just, like, add up the letters in your name and go, oh, that's a 3. That's scattered energy or, you know, whatever. Don't want that.
No.
It has to go
in fact,
picture.
Well, yes. And here's the other thing, Janet. The way you calculate a current name, it's a multi-step rule process. It's not a matter of just adding the numbers. It's literally, there are a lot of rules and a lot of exceptions. And so people go online and say, oh, my name is fortunate or not, and they're not calculating it right. They're just using a plain old calculator that adds up all the letters, and that's not how you do it. It's very complex. Yeah, it's not. The birth name, though, is different. When you talked about the Pythagorean system before,
Yeah,
you can do that online. You can put in your birth certificate name and an online Pythagorean or Western calculator and definitely get your correct number. That's straightforward. Just add them up, but not with current names. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's a really good point, because sometimes people, they go out there and try to get that information, and then they take it as fact, and maybe it is really doing them more harm than good. Making changes that really aren't in their best interest. So I just wanted to make sure, we understood that. For those of you that are just tuning in, I am speaking today with Tanya Gabrielle, who is a wealth astronumerologist. And, you know, Tanya, let's talk about that right now, because I was intrigued because of not only because you were a composer, but because, probably like you, about, maybe 60% or so of my business comes from people who are looking for money information. How are my finances? What's happening in my finances? And so, of course, it's really intriguing to call yourself a wealth astronumerologist. So tell us a little bit about what that means to you and what it means to your clients.
That's a really good question. It's been a real journey for me to come to this point to realize that that's what I excel in. Started online approximately about 8-9 years ago with a business focusing on music, and then I branched very quickly into numerology and then astronumerology. And what I found after, you know, many hundreds and then thousands of clients is that the understanding of wealth, which is, like you said, what most people would like to know about and get help with, is not approached often in a way that looks at the whole person. And what you can do with these wonderful divination arts is delve deeply into, and I'm an intuitive as well, so a lot of us are. So we use this as a portal.
Yeah.
So you delve deeply into the person's soul, the way they are currently, and look at their vibrational state and actually address the personal things first, because the wealth cannot blossom in a field that is barren or confused. And so when I don't clear away relationship issues or help clear away, I don't do it myself, but help them with, well, what is blocking your energy? Because this is all energy. Money is just an energy exchange with you and the universe. So if you're having an energetic block somewhere in your life that you're translating into lack, that's going to translate into lack of finances. So for me, the whole work as a wealth astroneurologist is to take that word wealth in terms of the ancient English usage, which is well-being. That's what it really means. Wealth
and
well-being.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I didn't understand.
When you look up, and this is what I do with numerology, I love words. I love the context and the meaning of words. And the original meaning of wealth is well-being. So I thought, that's what I am. I help with that, you know. And it really is satisfying to me because, as you know, when you're really holistic, you look at the whole picture, not just a slice of the pie to help somebody. And so that's the way I tend to do things, you know. So
yeah,
I help people with that, with wealth, you know, because if you don't have money, you lack in a lot of, you have so much fear in your life every day. You're worrying. And so money is important, but it's not the actual thing I tend to look at. Do you see what I mean? I look at, well, what's the reason for your lack? So,
well, right,
yeah.
Because if, you know, you're living in fear or in survival mode, it leaves very little room for you to pursue your passions because you're worried about when is my next bill going to get paid or when's the next dollar going to come in. So I think it does have a really negative effect if you only are looking at that one thing. I just love that the word wealth is well-being.
Yeah. Yeah, I do too. When I discovered that, I was like, bingo.
Yeah.
Yeah,
bingo.
Really, it was like a light bulb, of course. You know, that's
what
it should
perfect.
Mean. So.
Just out of curiosity, you don't have to divulge the actual date, but what astrology sign are you?
I'm a Taurus.
I was going to guess Taurus or Libra just because I knew.
I'm Libra rising.
There you go. Because you're so
that's
beautiful.
Really
when
good,
I look
Janet,
at your picture,
that's really good, Janet. That's really good.
Yeah, you exude Venus energy. And then
I'm total Venus. Yes.
Totally
well,
Venus
that's
money
why
is
I love...
all about Taurus. Or I mean, Taurus
I
is
know.
All about money.
But so is music. Music
and music
art.
Is too.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Libra, of course, Libra rising has that beautiful face, that aesthetically pleasing symmetry and just everything about your picture screamed Venus ruled.
Sweet of you.
Okay.
Okay,
well, thank you for that divulging. That's awesome.
Yeah. First time I've divulged that actually. But you got it so well. I had to, you know, just let you know you're correct. Oh,
yeah, I love being able to do that. I can, you know, I'll be in the mall or in the grocery store and I can tell sometimes just by looking at people how they're shopping, what they're buying, what sign they are, and then once in a while I will say, oh, you're a Scorpio, and they'll look at me with the weirdest looks, but usually
hilarious.
I'm right.
That's hilarious. You need to write a book about this. That would be fascinating.
Yeah, you know, I do it sparingly, but I can do it with my clients very quickly.
Uh-huh.
Usually
funny.
Just very quickly, and then I pull the chart, and I'm going, oh, okay. And now I do human design astrology, so it's a lot different. It's not based on zodiac signs, but types. And so I'm getting pretty good at that one as well. So,
wow, that sounds fascinating.
It is. It's lovely. Now, I've got a whole list of people in here today that would love to talk to you. So I'm thinking let's do a couple of little readings for people, and then I want to go into the energies for the rest of 2014 and give you a chance to tell us about your money-making formula webinar that's going on. So are you up for that?
Sure, no problem. I love doing readings.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the first person that I have coming in today is Erica Lewis. And let's see, Steve, I don't know where she is. If you can bring her in.
I'm here.
There. Hi, Erica. How are you?
I'm all right, Janet. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. Tanya is also on the line with us. And Tanya, I'm going to just turn it over to you. And I've got Erica's birth date, but she can just as easily give you that. So take it away.
Yeah, hi, Erica.
Hi, Tanya. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you. So what's your birthday?
September 3rd,
1943.
1943,
you said?
No, 73.
73. Sorry, I did not hear you. I didn't mean to say 43. So. That's a huge difference. Okay. Let's get that right.
She looks
okay.
Really good for her age.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. So let's see here. You're a 32-5, life purpose number, and a 3. So... did you have a specific question for me? Because I want to make sure I cover what you want to know.
I'm curious about, like, in terms of finances and wealth, like what you see or foresee.
Okay. And may I just ask you real quick, how do you spell your first name?
It's E-R-I-C-A.
Okay. I'm going to look at that, too. So, because see what happens is when your name doesn't resonate to a number that's supportive, it actually can affect your finances, of course, right? So I want to do a quick check here since your whole name was announced, and I see right away, Erica, that your name resonates to what I call the victim number. I call it that because people who have this actual number tend to feel victimized, like life just, you know, is not going their way. So I don't know if that's the case for you, if you feel that. Here's the thing, you're born
right
on
now.
The 3rd. Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah, well, you're born on the 3rd, and this number that I'm talking about is 12, mm-hmm. which reduces to 3. So you actually have an accentuation, a magnification of that number by having a birthday on the 3rd. So for you, the joy that you feel in life is so instrumental to how you attract abundance. You're a 3 and a 5, and those are the two joyful numbers. They do not tend to focus, though, on manifesting and grounding. So I don't have your whole blueprint in front of me. I don't know your birth name. But just looking at those two numbers, what I would suggest to you is that you find a way to not start things without completing them. You tend to sometimes dissipate your energy and do a lot of things because you multitask very well. You're interested in many things, and you are you're just a fun, adventurous person who doesn't like monotony. You're not a 9-to-5 jobber. You want just freedom. You want to explore. So when you don't feel that freedom and joy in your life, you will repel abundance. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, I can see that.
Okay, so this year, just real quick, this year, you're in a new cycle. So what's happening with you now is everything's being changed up for you. You're learning new things. You're starting a whole new 9-year cycle this year. And that, I mean since your birthday in September. So the learning curve for you is to just accept that you're meant to embrace a brand new way of life, maybe a new career or a new approach to how you do things. And I highly recommend a name adjustment for you, a letter change, because it really would help you feel supported, you know, like somebody's there or people are there or your environment is there or you feel like the universe is there to support you. Right now, that's not really the case. It's more like you have to work really hard to get things moving, and there's sometimes obstacles thrown your way, right? So, yeah, that's what I see right now. But you're such a fun, loving, lovely person who needs to express herself. You need to be on stage somehow or as a writer or speaker or, you know, whatever it is, artistically or just to be out there just using your voice and communicating a message. That's who you are. You're lovely, lovely energy. And it's just very uplifting when you are doing something that you really are passionate about.
That's actually good. It's funny. I actually added a middle name a few years ago, but I don't use it because mm-hmm. Erica Lewis is my birth name. But yeah, I actually, because before I was told that I had a lot of fives in my name, that was like constant change, and I was trying to make more grounding in my name, so I added the middle name Melody.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but do you use that middle name? I mean, when you introduce yourself
or
sign,
I don't use it.
Yeah, so it's really the frequency that you use day to day that's your current name. So you would want to find one name that is a good number that you put on all your checkbooks to and all your credit cards and sign that way, because anytime you see it too or write it, it's the same thing. You're activating that frequency. So you want one name, one good name across the board, and that will really help you, Erica, to do that. That'll actually shift you in a big way. And you, like I said, you're starting a 9-year cycle now, so it's a great time to embrace that in your life.
Great idea. Thank you so much for being on here today, Erica.
Thank you.
All right. So we have another caller, Patricia, and I'm going to tell everybody now I am babysitting a dog, and he's sitting here crying at me. So if he starts barking, I apologize. He's a rent-a-dog for the day. Patricia, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am. And I didn't realize about giving the last name, but I'm glad I called because I'm divorced and I have not changed my name to my maiden name yet for some reason. I don't want to because of past memories.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I don't know if I should keep my married name, which is totally fine. I mean, I don't know. So do I need to give both names to you? Or
you know, you don't actually need to. It's just something I can offer for those who want to. I can read your birthday and birth cycles that are happening now. It's up to you.
Sure. I know I have a life path number of 8. All my numbers come out to 8. Do you need those birthdays?
I need your birthday, yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's 12463.
Okay. Yeah. You are a 6 and an 8. Because, see, the 24 matters as well. So that makes you very loving, very family-oriented, very compassionate, somebody who people turn to for help. You love giving advice, and you're just like a very parental, loving person with that number. You take on responsibility easily. Any 6s take on responsibility. So, and they love to teach and heal. A lot of healers and doctors have this number. And then, yes, you are an 8. Your full birthday is 26-8. So 6 and 8, those are really numbers of wonderful abundance. And so I don't know if you are abundant in your life, but you should easily attract it if you're really living fully your life purpose. So now, of course, I'm not looking at your current name, so I can't tell you how that's affecting your life. So, but your year right now, the one that is about to end, you're born in January, is a 13-4 year. And so this is, let me just see, hold on, let me just make sure this is correct. 14. You're in a 14 year. You're in a 14 year in 2014. That means your years are following the same number as, like, we're in the 14th year, you're in a 14-5 year. There's a lot of change around you this year. 5 is the pivot number. It sits on a rocker. It faces right at the top. It faces left at the bottom. And it really means to shift from one thing to the other and to make decisions. So people who go through 5 years tend to experience a major change in their life somehow. So it's a wonderful energy, but for you, because you're a 6 and an 8, it's not a natural energy you're aligned to. So it's not as easy. Now, again, I don't have your full blueprint in front of me, so I don't have your destiny number, but just judging from those two numbers, I can tell you that this would be a huge year. It's almost over, and you're about to go into a 6 year, Patricia, and that will be like coming home because it literally governs the home, but it also governs a much more calming energy for you. If you can hang on and just make sure you clear away things that are no longer part of your support network, whether those are people or ideas or beliefs or things, and just accept transformation, like literally embrace it as something that is taking you to a brand new place. And then by the time you get to 2015, you're going to be much more on solid ground. Does that all make sense to you?
Yes. Three really toxic neighbors moved out of my neighborhood. I've gotten rid of people that brought me down. So I'm pretty much starting all over again. And my ex-husband's finally going to remove his things out of my house. So those are the changes. But it's been kind of gentle for me because I just live a very simple life. Very simple, even in my work. I have to because I just get really sensitive. I'm a very sensitive person. And I have to have everything very simple.
Yes.
Very simple.
Right, right. Yeah, you have your code is very direct, right? And so this year that you're in right now is it's very diverse. So you're coming up against all these different decisions you have to make. So that simplicity that you so love and that security that you so love will be much more apparent and envelop your heart again next year. Your heart's really going to blossom next year in a big way. You won't feel so pulled in different directions as you are this year. So so look forward to that. It's really good. Well, next year's a wonderful year anyway, which we'll talk about in a moment. But
yeah,
you're attuned to it specifically, Patricia. You're attuned to that number. The numbers for next year are literally your birth numbers. So it's going to be a powerful year for you. Yeah.
Fabulous. I'm glad I called in. Yeah, I just feel like there's one more step for me, and I'll be very, you know, comfortable in my life. And I think it's with my career, but I don't know. That's where I'm struggling because I'm just a very simple person, and I'm not the type of person to go, even though I've been offered those positions, I won't go beyond what I think I can handle, you know, mentally, because the sensitivity.
You know, this brings up something, a really good time, Tanya, for you to let people know who are listening here today that might want to get a reading from you. How can they find you? You know, what is your contact information, your website, et cetera?
Yeah, thank you so much, Janet. My website is actually my name, and so I'll just spell it for you. It's Tanya Gabrielle. That's TanyaGabrielle.com. And when you go there, you can. There's lots of different tabs you can click on and discover what I do. And my homepage actually is my blog, so you can read all my latest articles there and see my forecast videos on that homepage as well.
Yes, and so people can reach out and get a reading, find out what the year is going to bring for them, or if they want advice on how to change their name, that kind of thing, right? Or do you
yeah,
do the whole picture?
I do the whole picture, and one great way to even enter my world is to sign up for my free newsletter. You know, you can do that right on that homepage. Just give your first name and email address, and you'll be sent probably 6 or 7 free newsletters a month where I just tell you what's going on, you know, worldwide and with the planets and stars and all of that. So it's a fun newsletter to subscribe to. And, yes, you can also, you know, discover all the different a variety of things that I offer in terms of blueprints and counseling calls. Yeah.
Yeah, great. Well, thank you so much, Patricia. And,
thank you.
You know, Tanya, why don't you, I know you're sort of calculating out what people's personal years are going to be in 2015. What formula are you using so maybe people who don't get to talk to you today can maybe look at their own year?
Yeah, it's an easy formula. All you need is your month and your day. And what you do is you add the single digit. So let's say if you're born on the 24th, like Patricia, and she's born in January, what you would add is 1 plus 2 plus 4. So 1 for January and 2 plus 4 for her 24th day of birth. So I'll give you another example. November, 28th, you would add 1 plus 1 plus 2 plus 8. And then after you do that, you add the year we're in. So right now we're in 2014, So you add that number that you just calculated plus 2 plus 0 plus 1 plus 4 for 2014. So that's how you do it. Now, there is a little there is something important you need to realize is if you're born in November, your personal year starts in November. Some numerologists start everybody's year in January. I don't do that because you're born at a certain time, and so your year starts when you're born.
I am so glad to hear you say that. I am.
Yeah, and your age changes, too, on your birthday.
Yeah.
So why would your personal year not change then? So that's how I do things.
I thought I was, you know, pretty much alone out there thinking of it in that way because so many people do change it on the 1st of January, but only the people born in January would that really be in resonance with them.
Exactly.
So
that's exactly right.
I'm so glad to hear that.
Yeah, because you don't change your age on the 1st of January, right? So why would your personal year change on the 1st of January?
Right,
it doesn't
make
sense. So so for somebody born in November, yeah, you can add 2014 to your month and day, but you got to wait to your birthday before that number actually activates. So like right now we're still in October. For anybody born in November, their personal year is still from 2013. It's still going now. It's not over yet. So.
Yeah, and so that, you know, that's always been confusing because some people will do it different ways, and I've always looked at my birth date in June as my new year, as well as, you know, when my numbers would start really rolling with the calendar year. So,
yeah, I really feel it's because the solar return happens too.
Exactly.
It just makes sense to me. Yeah.
Very good. So let's see here. How are we doing on time? 4:41. So we got about 20 minutes. So let's, before we do any more readings, let's talk a little bit about what you're sort of seeing for us for the rest of 14. Considering it's almost over, I can't even believe that. And then I want you to talk to us about 2015 and specifically your Money Making Formula live webinar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, gosh, when I look at this year, I'm just, I don't know if you felt this, but it's been quite an amazing year just in terms of inner transformation.
Oh, yes.
Inner transformation. I mean, serious, like, inner transformation. You know? Like,
beyond belief,
come to Jesus
inner
moments,
transformation.
You know? Like, yeah. It's been so interesting because that definitely reflects the number 7, 2014, 2 plus 0 plus 1 plus 4, it equals 7, and 7 is that number where you go within, where you get really private and really quiet and take time by yourself because we can't figure these things out when we're with other people or watching TV or whatever we do. So it's been that kind of year where if you haven't done that, when these eclipses came in April and just now October, you've been really confronted. And even if you have been reflecting and doing self-realization work, you've been affected. You know, and I'm not saying this is bad. I'm just saying the shifts, the inner deep shifts that maybe others can't really see unless they know you personally and know what you're experiencing have been quite dramatic this year. And there are a series of 4 eclipses called a tetrad that began in April with this incredible cardinal grand cross that is still affecting us, and it was major, still going on now because Uranus and Pluto were involved, and they're still squaring each other, and they're about to come together again. The Pluto-Uranus square has been going on for years, since 2011-12, and so that's ending next year. So we're coming to the culmination now of this very tense dance between these two revolutionary planets. And so that tetrad cycle, the tetrad refers to this incredible eclipse that occurs like on a blood moon, which is a very different kind of full moon eclipse. And there are 4 in a row that are happening. April this year, that one happened. The October one just happened. Then we have one next April and then next September. Next March and September.
Yeah,
those
March.
Are ending in September of 2015. And at that point, when that final tetrad happens, by the way, this hasn't happened in like 300 years. It's really rare for this series of full moon eclipses, which are lunar eclipses, to happen. By the end of September next year, all of us will have really been somehow transformed. So we're in the middle of that right now. And it's really quite a major moment because, like I said, the Uranus-Pluto square is also coming to a head and ending in March. So it's been
all
difficult
coming to
for
a
some
point.
Yes, that's right. You know, it's been difficult for some people, but at the same time, what I love about this whole period is that Neptune entered Pisces, right, recently, in like the end of 2012, I believe. And once Neptune entered Pisces, we deeply connected with our own spiritual source. There was no way around it. It's such a beautiful time, and I think, Janet, you understand too, all of us in the divination arts who are spiritual counselors of some kind or another are finding that people are turning to wanting to know what their purpose is now. I mean, purpose is like the huge word in everywhere, it seems. You know, and that happened because Neptune entered Pisces, and we're like, okay, so what? Nobody talked about purpose before that. I mean, in the way they are now. Now it's like almost any entrepreneur online is saying they want to help you figure out your purpose. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, that's incredible.
You know? Where were you 5 years ago when we were trying to
figure
it out?
Yeah. So that's the search for the truth of who we really are is what we're all dealing with. And in this 7 year, that you asked me about 2014, in this 7 year, that has been a very personal, deeply personal search, and sometimes very painful because the truth shall set you free, and the truth isn't always easy. So that's 2014. Now, 2015, very, very different energy. We're switching from a 7 and a 14, which are very mind numbers, to an 8 and a 6. 2014 is an 8. It adds up to 8. And then, of course, 15 is a 6. That's why Patricia, who was, you know, asking before, she's a 6 and an 8. She's really affected by this. Now, those two numbers are about abundance, prosperity, joy, manifestation, family, love, passion. They're emotional and they're strong and secure. So we are going to come out of being very in our heads about things and thinking about things to really, like, getting down to business and getting things done and feeling on a deep, deep level. So it's going to be quite amazing because of all these other astrological events that are going on to experience this year, because we've got two powerful abundance numbers. And by the way, I didn't even talk about the number 15. 15 is the spiritual alchemist in the ancient Chaldean numerology, and it basically stands for uplifting others through joy. That's what it really means, because you're alchemizing energy to help others feel good about themselves. That's really what a spiritual alchemist does. It's like a magician, you know, who manipulates energy, but for good. So that 15 is very magical, and it's shining a light on top of this number 6 and 8 that's so magnificent. And so I'm just so excited to move from these last few years, which have been so intense, 2011, 12, 13, 14. I'm like, okay, finally, we're going into a year where you'll be able to see results of all the inner work you've been doing, you know, like literal physical results. So,
and I think a lot of people are really feeling that coming. I know that I have really been chomping at the bit, it seems, over the last couple of weeks, just wanting things to move forward and to get through what has felt like sludge over the last
word for it,
even.
Sludge.
You know, I've been blaming it on Saturn moving through Scorpio and, you know, bringing up some of those things that we couldn't take with us into the future, things that we need to clear, old beliefs and patterns and things like that. But what you're saying makes perfect sense, that, you know, the energy of those numbers being on the mind were really very different than the numbers that can be more about passion and action and moving forward. So hallelujah for 2015.
Yeah, and, you know, Saturn moving through Scorpio, it's interesting you brought that up, because Scorpio rules the eighth house, and that is a money house, right? So in astrology, it's money owed to us. So it's really been like a lesson. I mean, Saturn, the great teacher, asking us to look at how we feel about our finances. And if we've been honest about our true feelings, which most of us have no idea what they are, they're very subconscious and ingrained since we were young by, you know, people who had no idea what money was, you know, anyway. So we're walking around with these ideas that are so not about what money is. It's just energy is what it is. It's not good or bad. Most people think of it as bad. So Saturn's come around now in Scorpio and basically said, look, you've got to come in touch with your feelings, the water sign feelings about money. And so next year, you know, we're going to have the Sagittarius influence, and that's very joyful. I think it'll be a very different energy, you know, for Saturn.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I know, and I, for one, am, you know, being a cheerleader of, you know, Saturn and Sagittarius. You know, the last time it was there was in 1987 during the harmonic convergence, which was sort of the opening gateway to a very strong push toward the metaphysical or the spiritual, for lack of a better word, a New Age movement that became very powerful. And so...
Wow!
Yeah,
no, 87-15! 87
yeah.
and 15.
Oh, you're
absolutely
right.
Wow, that's amazing.
So,
because it's 2015. That's incredible. See, that's how the numerology and astrology come together. When you see that correlation, the last time Saturn was in Sagittarius, 1987, the 87th year of that century, that's 15. And now we're in 2015, the same thing's happening. That's amazing. Wow.
Yeah, and I didn't even realize that correlation until you said that. But it is amazing how these two energies, these divination systems work together. And just real quick, I'm seeing a question in the chat room that says, so born on the 15th of a month, does that mean anything in relation to this?
Oh, absolutely. If you're born on the 15th of any month, this 2015 year will be very, very important for you. Same with 2014 for people born the 14th. This also applies, by the way, to people born on the 24th, because that's a 6, and people born on the 6th, because that's also a 6, right? So it's not just the 15th. But yes, if you're born the 15th, you naturally have the urge to uplift others in some way joyfully by serving, through service. 6 is the big service number. That's why a lot of healing professionals, whether they're doctors or actual healers, or astrologers, whatever, have that number, because it really is about helping others through joy in the end. You know, that's what it's meant to be. It looks like a pregnant woman, the number 6 that 15 reduces to. The 6 looks like a woman who's pregnant. So it's about carrying a child and the responsibility entailed therein. So that's what the number means, is loving, you know, unconditional love towards another human.
That's my life path is a 33-6.
Oh, wow, that's a powerful master number.
And
yeah.
I always tell people I love people. I mean, I just love people. I love the whole idea of people.
Yep.
Little people, big people, old people, young people. I really just love people. So it's an interesting thing with the 6 energy, because so many times I have gotten walked on over and over by people.
Yeah, because you want to help them. That's what 6s want to do. They want to be the parent and reach out and help. And so we can get sucked in to helping others and neglecting our own needs. That's the big lesson for 6s, is take care of yourself first. And it's hard, because 6s want to help others. So
exactly. Very familiar with that 6 energy.
Yeah.
So tell us about your Money Making Formula webinar, and I know you were getting close to having it filled. Have you already filled it up, or do you still have some space open?
There is some space open. There are a few more days left to register. We close the doors on Tuesday, November 4th, because I am creating a personal astronomy planner for everybody who actually registers, and I'm doing that myself, so it's a lot of work. So I have to close the doors that day, but we still have some space. And so what this is, it's a 5-hour live stream. Instead of doing my live event this year, it's the first time I've done this, I'm going to do it online instead of doing it live here in LA. And I wanted to do it because of the year. It's so important. So this money-making formula is going to focus on how you personally can use every month's energy to, you know, create abundance in your life. And it's going to focus not only on the numerology and astrology in a very, very particular way, like really in depth, but I'm going to go into wealth keywords for the year. I'm going to go into secret letters, what they actually mean that line up with the year, and critical dates and periods not to plan big events, because it's not a good time. and, you know, many, many wealth generation tips as well, because that's something I specialize in. So it's going to be really exciting. I'm going to have a special surprise guest too, who is going to blow everybody away. So it's really going to be fun, and it takes place on November 8th. It's going to be live, but there will be a way to access the recording for many months thereafter. So if you can't make it live that day, you don't have to worry about it. So the way to get in on this is to go to tanyagabrielle.com/MMF, and that's M as in money, MMF, and F as in fun. MMF, that's for money making formula. That's what it stands for, MMF. So tanyagabrielle.com/MMF. And you'll be able to watch a short little video about what I'm going to be doing and register there. So
nice.
I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be great. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds good. I'm really glad to see that the energy is changing so markedly for next year. Certainly makes me feel better.
Me
better
too.
To be able to tell people, hopefully, yeah. So let's see, we have a few minutes left before you need to leave us, and I would love it if you could do a reading for another special person, someone who is always in the background here at Living Astrology helping me, and I know that he would love it if you could do a reading for him. So, Steve,
sure.
Are you there?
Yes, I am.
Steve.
Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
I would love a reading. Absolutely
okay,
love
good.
A reading.
Well, what's your birthday?
11/4/57.
Okay. Do you want me to look at your current name or your last name?
Martinson.
What's the fourth letter? Mar what?
Tinson.
Okay.
Yeah, Martinson.
Okay, got it. Let me just check that real quick. And Steve is that what you use on your credit cards? And
No,
Steven.
Steven, but I prefer to be called Steve.
Okay, so here's the thing, just so people understand. When you have two versions of your name, like Steve has, where the credit cards and checkbooks reflect one version, but you call yourself another shortened, you know, nickname, you
mm-hmm.
already are dissipating your energy because you have two frequencies, because those two names add up to different numbers. So you really want to consolidate into one that's really super awesome and don't have
okay.
to. So let me tell you what's going on. Since you call yourself Steve, I'm assuming that's what you would want to use. And it's a very, this is an amazing number. Let me just tell you about it. And then I'll look at Steven as well to let you know. Steve Martinson adds up to 10-1, which in the ancient Chaldean numerology represents instant manifestation that comes from the energy of love and light. The number 10 is a straight line and a circle, and it's so male and female energy. So it represents the God essence. And because of that, the instant manifestation aspect, I sometimes recommend to some of my clients that if they're glass half empty people, to not use the name because it's so powerful, meaning what you think about manifests much more quickly than for other people. But that can be negative too. So
right.
you have to gauge, are you glass half full or glass half empty most of the time? And be super honest about that and then decide, do you want that name or not? I have that number, so I can attest to its amazing effects. My name, Tanya Gabrielle, is a 10. So that's one thing. Let me just look at Steven for you. Okay, Steven Martinson is a highly challenging name number, so I just toss that anyway and just use Steve Martinson if you're glass half full. Now, if you're not, then we would have to work together and I'd find another spelling for you. So
mm-hmm.
that's your name. Does that make sense so far?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right, let's look at you. This is really interesting. Your full birthday adds up to 28, Steve, and that's a 10-1. That's another 10. So here we have another person on earlier where one of the birth numbers was the same as her birthday. And, you have the same thing. So instant manifestation is something you are very good at. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the number 28. There are some things about this number that you need to be aware of because sometimes this number can be frustrating because on the one hand, you have almost like a genius quality where you can achieve whatever you want to. Okay. On the other hand, you may trust the wrong people in your life, and you may have like a lot of opposition in parts of your life. People who are either like just disagreeable or competitive with you. I'm not going to ask you if that makes sense because it's private. But just so you know, you want a fortunate number to just balance that energy out because it's the same 10-1. You're born on the 4th, and that is all about organization. And so what I always tell my 4 clients is make sure that everything around you is organized and clean and clear. When you have things that are messy around you, it really affects your equilibrium spiritually, emotionally.
That's interesting because I'm a neat freak.
You're a neat freak, good.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah, well, it's good. You need to be, okay. So the 4 and 1, very different energies. The 1 is very much the originator, the creator, the one who moves forward and, you know, to hell with what others think, I'm going to do what I want to do. And then the 4 is much more, not politically correct, but, you know, conservative. So you have like 2 sides to you. And I don't know if they do balance each other out. It's nice. It's a nice balance. But because the 4 really balances you out, it's very grounding. It's the number that rules Earth, actually, the number 4. It's the architect number. So feng shui, everything related to architecture and gardening and grounding and your home, you're very much, you like your home. You want it to be beautiful. That's all about the 4, discipline, order. Then the 1 is like, okay, let's just go fly with this. Let's go with my brilliant idea and go on tangents and take it to wherever I can go. So there's a brilliant mind coupled with a very secure-minded person, and you have to balance those 2 energies out in your life. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. So this year, just real quick, Steve, this year you're about to have a birthday, so happy birthday.
Thank you.
6 and 7. Okay, so you're about to go into a 13-year. Wow, that's fantastic for you because that's a 4. You're in a 3-year right now. A lot of changes this past year. Lots of unknown
it was
stuff.
I had a tumultuous summer. Absolutely.
Yeah,
that's
I bet.
That's a really good word to describe it, yeah.
Well, it's an emotional year. 3 is an emotional number. It's in the emotional triad in numerology. You don't have a 3 or 6 or 9 in your birthday, so 3 is more of an alien number to you. Of course, I'm not reading your whole blueprint, but just looking at your birthday, that's the case. So you're about to enter a year in a few days that's much more congruent to who you are. Now, that number 13, though it reduces to 4, which is your day of birth, also represents transformation because 13 is the power number. It's a really deeply esoteric number of empowerment. So what I will tell you real briefly here, Steve, is that if things happen to you unexpectedly, which they often do in a 13-year, it's a very transformative kind of energy, it only means that you need to wake up and shift directions. It's actually not something that you should be concerned about because 13 just acts that way if it's something that you're not seeing quite yet and need a little help with so you can move forward and empower your life.
So it's not punitive, it's more helpful, a guide.
Yeah, and of course, that's our perspective, right, Janet? I mean, we all know our perspective can see it as punitive sometimes, but that's not the case. And since you are a 4, I think you will understand the energy very quickly because it's a number aligned to you. So I think for you, the transformation you're going to feel is going to be very grounding in many ways. At the same time, know that it's all about you getting and stepping into your power. It's very, very deep and going to really affect you in an amazing way. So it's going to be an exciting year for you. You've had a couple years here, especially this past year, that have been more challenging. So this will be a different energy. Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. So. Awesome. Thank you so much, Tanya, for doing that for Steve.
Yes, indeed.
Steve is always behind the scenes here helping out. No one ever really sees him. So
I love that. I love that, too. Yeah, that's great. Well, you're welcome.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Steve, for being a good sport, Steve. So, Tanya, we've come to the end of our hour, and I know that you were on a time schedule, so I want to give you the opportunity to let all my listeners know, again, how they can find you, where they can sign up for your classes, et cetera. And then I want to let my listeners know that I'm staying on until 5:30 West Coast time, so if a couple of you would like to have astrology readings, I will be able to do that for you. So, Tanya, how can we find you?
Thank you, Janet. Well, you can just go to my website, TanyaGabrielle.com, which is spelled TanyaGabrielle.com. And everything that you would want to explore is really on that homepage. Let me just mention real quick, I do have a wonderful program called Numerology Academy, and it's really my flagship program. It is a certification program for learning what I do, which is the combination of numerology and astrology, and you can get certified as a coach or not. You know, you can be somebody who just is interested or somebody who really wants to use this as a career. And there's actually two levels to it, and there are several programs that I offer that are for forecasting, and soon there will be one for wealth generation. But it's just a really wonderful portal for anybody who's interested in these two sister sciences to learn how to use them together. So that's another thing.
And it's all online, isn't that right? It's a video-based training?
Yes. Yes, it's online. It's video. It's PDFs. It's MP3 so you can listen on the go. It's really designed for right now, so people can use it wherever they need to and print out all the slides and PDFs. And we have monthly calls every month, which you can call in and ask your questions. And so there's a huge support community. There's a Facebook page that's totally private that are just for members. It's very active. So it's a wonderful actual tribe that we've created here that is just really neat, because there's not, I know you mentioned astrologers always, or a lot of them being into numerology and vice versa, but they're not combining it in their actual, you know, practices. And so this is a program that allows you to learn that part.
That sounds like a lot of fun. So thank you, Tanya, so much for being a guest on my show today. I have learned a lot from you in just 1 hour. I love it. And I hope you'll join us again someday. I'm sure my audience really enjoyed hearing from you, too. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
And
thank you, Janet.
Take care.
So
I look forward to 2015.
Yes. Oh, my God. So am I. We'll have to connect again next year and see how the whole thing turns out. You know?
Compare notes.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, Tanya.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much.
Much.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye for now. Oh, you know, I just love having guests on like Tanya, who are so friendly and open and really, you know, care about people. So let's see, we have about 22 minutes left where if there is someone out there that would still like to have a reading, I don't do numbers exactly like Tanya, but I could certainly give you an astrology reading. And it looks like I have a couple of people left here in the queue. Steve, who would like to go?
Kim, and I'm going to bring her on right now.
Okay, thanks.
Hi.
Hi, Kim. How are you today?
Okay, good. I had a question about my career.
Okay, well, let's see. I don't recognize your name, so I'm thinking I probably haven't done a reading for you before. So let me get your birth information entered in. First of all, I have to get a handle on my computer and decide. There we go. Somehow I suddenly just forgot how to use a computer there for a minute. okay, so let's see. I changed their website last week, and so I'm still trying to figure it all out. And so what is your birth date?
4/15/1971.
Okay, and what time were you born?
9:22 a.m.
And where were you born?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Ohio. I have quite a few clients that are actually from the Cleveland, Ohio area. And I think it all started with a woman named Lisa Copeland, the dating coach, who I believe is from that area. And have you ever heard of her?
I've heard of her, yes, because I'm still single. That's another question.
Yes. Oh, okay. So let's take a look here. What's your last name, sweetie?
K-O-S, like Sam, mm-hmm. C, mm-hmm. like cat, I-E-L-N-Y.
I-E. Okay. All right. So let's take a look here and find out what's going on for you. It doesn't like it that I didn't say whether you were male or female. Okay. And let's bring this chart up and see what's going on for you. Now, have you ever had an astrology reading before?
Years ago.
Okay. So you're familiar with the terms.
Yes.
If I say a planet and that kind of thing. Okay, very good. So what I'm doing is bringing up a transit chart so we can take a look at what's going on for you right now at the moment, but it's also showing me your birth chart. And so your main concern, you said, is career, was it?
Yes, will I be getting the promotion?
A promotion, okay. So let's take a look at what's going on in your 10th house, because it's the 10th house that really rules the career. And right now you have the planet Uranus moving out of the 10th and into your 11th, with the planet Chiron now moving out of the 9th and into your 10th. So it looks like there was probably a need for you to be able to stretch and grow. Were you feeling sort of stagnant in the position that you were in, and that's why you're looking for another position or a promotion?
Yes.
And what kind of work do you do?
Post office.
So government kind of position.
Yeah.
So it looks like the potential is for some kind of new beginning for you, absolutely. The planet Jupiter, which is where I'm looking to see if there's going to be growth coming and in what category of growth that will be, is in your third house, which is sometimes a house that will bring recognition, like you stand out in your environment. For whatever reason that is. Hopefully, of course, it's for good reasons, right? Your work ethic or the amount of work you get done or, you know, your creativity in doing your job or whether you're on time and always there. So it seems like something good is coming your way in that. I have a caution for you, however, and it's that Uranus has now moved into the 11th house in your chart, which is more about the house of vision, your desires, your goals and aspirations. And so it's sort of not a warning, but it's sort of asking you, is this truly what you desire? And because a lot of the times, you know, we go for something and we're only half-heartedly approaching it or wanting it. You know what I mean by that? Like,
mm-hmm.
you know, it would be nice to have the promotion because maybe it gives us more money, maybe more responsibility, but maybe I really feel, you know, about getting the job. Do I really want this? So I would ask myself that question, am I really passionate about this? Or is there something else that I'm more passionate about that I should be pursuing? Does all of that make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay. So if indeed, so I'm saying basically, yes, this looks good. There's the potential for this coming. But is it really what you want? Does it really position you in the realm in which you want to be in? Is this really where you see yourself? Because, you know, you're coming up, you've 43 this year? You'll
mm-hmm.
be 44 in April. And so we really want to know that question. Am I doing what I'm passionate about? If the answer is yes, then this is all in keeping with the energy and as the way it's building up in your chart. If the answer is no, then there may be some surprising bumps along the way over the next couple of years. So be aware of that. And your sun, by birth, is in the 11th house. So doing what you're passionate about and what you love, something that makes you feel good about you, it's very important to you. Almost as important as the security that a job might bring for you. But it really has to be something you're passionate about first. Does that
okay.
all make sense? Okay. Now, if we look at the relationship house, you said you're single right now.
Yes.
the planet Mars just yesterday, or let's see, the day before, moved into Capricorn, and Capricorn happens to be the sign sitting on your seventh house of relationship. And so we have the energy now of the potential male showing up in your life, or the potential G showing up. And Pluto, of course, is on a long-term transit through Capricorn. So that further enhances that there's some form of transformation in the area of relationships over the long run. Mars can be a trigger because it usually the last time it was in this part of your chart would be 2 years ago. And so it can act as sort of a trigger or a catalyst for some kind of change or somebody walking into your life. Now, what really tells the tale for me is the fifth house in your chart, which is the love and romance chart or house. And there you have Mercury, your destiny, and right now the Sun and Venus, the planet of love, all in that fifth house. So is there anybody on the horizon right now for you?
Not that I know of.
Well, get out there, girl. Let's find him. Hook up with Lisa Copeland. She's usually about over 50 dating, but I think her information out there is very, very timely, no matter what age you are, in terms of women looking for men. And I think it's findaqualityman.com. And if that's not it, it's something like that. And just, you know, Google Lisa Copeland, Copeland, because I think there might be some hints and tips there for you that you might want to be, you know, that you might be interested in, because I think things are lining up for you to find love. And with the fact that Pluto is in the seventh house of relationship, it may actually take it into serious territory for you. All right?
Oh, wonderful.
Yes, we like this. But like I said, just that one thing to be on the lookout for is what is it that you're passionate about? Because if you're wasting your time on something right now that's just another job along
it's
the way, another
money.
J-O-B. Yeah, it is about making money, right?
That's how I can make the money, and then everything else is like a hobby in my weekends.
But
the income isn't there.
You know, if you love what you're doing, you know, if the payoff for the reason you're there is worth it to you, then all of this makes sense, right? All of this makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I virtually guarantee you there is something else for you coming in the next few years. And I say that because your destiny is actually an Aquarius. An Aquarius doesn't necessarily like to do things that everybody else does. They sort of think outside of the box. And this is happening in your ninth house of world travel. And since the Sun is placed in, even though it's in Aries, in the house ruled by Aquarius, I foresee some big changes coming for you, and probably within the next few years. Let's say by the time you're age 48, which gives you a little bit of time for notice here, okay?
Okay. Sounds exciting.
All right. Yeah.
Thank
you. Definitely all good things, but, you know, just keeping in perspective that, you know, right now the energies, as, you know, Tanya outlined to us, are changing much more toward bringing things that we're passionate about, you know, the things, abundance and flow, into our lives. So keep that in mind.
Thank you.
You're very welcome, Kim. Thanks so much for calling in today. And let's see, next we have Rachelle Parker on the line. Hi, Rachelle. How are you?
Hello there. How are you?
I'm doing quite well, thank you. Let's take a look at your chart. Hold on, my computer's behaving badly. It's telling me I'm not on the call, but I can hear you, so I know you're there.
I can hear you also.
So I know I'm here. So it's trying to tell me I'm not. So let's take a look as I pull your chart up. What is your question about today, by the way?
Actually, I'm going into my birthday at the end of November, 11/27, and I guess I just want to know how I'm finishing up. I'm writing. I'm in the middle of a writing project, and I've been writing poems. I even had one win a contest just was announced on Tuesday. So I'm feeling good.
Congrats.
I'm feeling high. Thank you. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling, you know, but every once in a while I get that feeling that I have to push through.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's something I've never done before.
Yep.
So this is a process that I've never done. Everything about writing is new.
Well, I think you are coming, you know, a part of what is going on for you. Remember, I think we talked, you know, months back about Pluto, and it's, you know, finishing a transit through your 12th house. And so really what it's doing is bringing up things from your hidden subconscious mind or even gifts and talents that are sort of latent or have been hidden from you. There, it's bringing that out. And you are sitting at about the last degree before it crosses your ascendant. And so I think what you're really feeling, maybe, are the last vestiges of you know, fear-based thinking on what does it mean to be changing my life around being more creative and writing and that kind of thing. Now, Mars has, like I was just telling the previous caller, has just moved into Capricorn as well and is bringing this, you know, message up very clearly saying, let go. If there's anything in the way that's, you know, fear-based, let it go, because you're already seeing your efforts pay off, right?
Okay.
And, you know, even though you haven't, you know, you're coming up to, what, your 51st birthday, would this be? Sorry if I just blew that, but 51st,
okay.
So you've just had your Chiron return. You know, it happens right around your 51st birthday. Yours happened just a little bit earlier. So everything about you now is resonating with new potential, right? Because originally by birth, your Chiron was in your second house of low of self-worth and money and that kind of thing. So there was a wound around you being able to express your creativity, but that wound has now been completed. So now everything is about going out there, you know, pardon my French, hell-bent for election, just get it out there and do what really is meaningful to you, right? That's what your energy is lined up for. Now, here's the woe factor about all of this, the woe as in, oh my goodness, there are a lot of planets in your natal chart in your 10th, 11th, and 12th house. In fact, about two-thirds, I think, of the energy of your entire chart lie there. And right now, by transit, the Sun, Venus, Saturn, Ceres, Mars, and Pluto are all in communication with those planets. So there's a lot of doors and a lot of windows opening here. How did the eclipse, the two eclipses this month, treat you?
I think they treated me okay. I had a trip in September, a big trip to Europe, and I came back, and I just felt like I experienced a lot of letting go and releasing.
Very nice, very nice, because, you know, there's more of that coming, right? That Saturn is now on its last, let's say it's its last, December 23rd is its last day in Scorpio, and so for you, it's sitting today at 24 degrees of Scorpio, which is where your black moon Lilith is. And in the next few weeks, I'm actually going to have Laura Walker back on the show. She's the expert on black moon Lilith. And so essentially what you're experiencing this point right now is letting go of the last vestiges of fear around winning and losing and competition, because that's what Lilith and Scorpio is all about. And at this point, I think you just get to throw your hands up and say, you know, I'm doing it for the sheer love of doing it, for the creative energy. Who cares if you out there like it or not, because I like it. It makes me feel good. And that's the name of the game for you, because as that planet Saturn moves out of Scorpio, it then moves into Sagittarius. And very quickly, it's going to hit your natal sun, right? And that's going to, you know, some people think that Saturn, when it hits the sun, dampens your vitality. Personally, I think what it gives you is a healthy dose of focus and concentration, where if you have a goal and you set out a goal for yourself, it gives you a vast amount of energy to be able to focus your intention and to get your life lined up around whatever it is that you want to put forth.
Is that something that's happening now?
You're in the process of clearing out the last of the fear, and then just as you get into late December, early January, then Saturn is going to be hitting your sun. So you're in the last of the clearing, and then the focus and concentration comes right on the heels of that. So it's really good news. Don't get scared by, you know, other people's ideas of what Saturn and the sun can do to you. I think it really takes your life force energy, your vitality, your life force in general, and enables you to focus it.
Okay.
So that's
and I feel focused. I feel like I'm walking
focusing
stronger.
It on what you're passionate about.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So you have nothing
you so
to
much.
Worry about. Nothing at all to worry about.
I think that's what I need to hear. Like, it, you know, just like a, you know, you feel you have faith. Yeah, you need validation. You feel like you have faith and you're going along, but now I'm kind of out there by myself. You know, it's like the first day of school when you get to walk by yourself, you know where to go, but you've never done it alone. I think that's the best way I can explain it right now.
Yeah. Well, keep walking the path
feel bad.
Because you're doing just fine. You are doing just fine. The only thing that's going to ever bring you down in this next several months is going to be fear. That, you know, and be willing to look at it if it comes up. Be able to look at those old patterns, limiting ways of thinking, whatever it is that's dogged you in the past. If it shows back up, and we know how that is, a lot of times it shows back up, then be willing to look at it and make peace with it, right?
I will.
And but not let it stop you from moving forward.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. You're very welcome.
I love your show.
Thank you. I love that you call in and that you listen, so keep on listening.
Thank you.
Okay, so let's see, we've got about 4 minutes left, and I would love to continue doing readings. You know how I am. I can go on all night, but we're coming to the end. What I want to do is let people know a little bit about what's coming up. I actually have next week on the schedule the Astrology of November, and so pretty much most of that show will be talking about what's coming up in November and doing readings for people on how that energy is going to be playing out with you. Later, and you remember the last couple of weeks of September and the first couple of weeks in October, we did a series on how our beliefs hold us back at times, and how our beliefs about our body, about money, and about relationships can either work for us or work against us. Well, as we get into November 13th, I believe it is, I will have a woman on my show named Kathy McKay that does something called Psych K, and it is a process through which you can learn to change your beliefs, and she's going to be sharing that with us. And when we get to November 20th, that will be when Laura Walker from Oracle Report, the lady that does the Black Moon Lilith information, will be back on my show because the Black Moon has been in Leo for the last 9 months. As we get into the end of November, she moves out of Leo and into Virgo. So those of you who are Virgos or have Virgo prominent in your chart or have a Virgo Lilith may want to be listening to see what she has to say. And then, of course, the next week is Thanksgiving. I won't be on the air that day. I will be cooking for family. And in December, my first show in December will be Michael Lennox, and he is a dream interpreter. So people, do this for me. Be listing what some interesting dreams are that you have, because he's going to be working with people on their dreams. So I think that's it for now. Thank you all for listening today, and have a stellar week.
Thank you for joining us today on Living Astrology. You can reach Janet for readings or astrological advice at www.living-astrology.com or by email at janet@living-astrology.com. Would you like to host your own weekly radio show? If so, contact us at empoweruradio@gmail.com. Or if you would like to be considered as a guest or would like to recommend a guest, email us at empoweruradio@gmail.com. Goodbye for now and have a stellar week.